Praise the Lord. Amen. Would y'all tell this band how much you love them, please? We love you. Thank you, Jesus. What a band. We was at the national finals, and we do, you know, as I take Daryl and Ricky with me, and I've been preaching at the national finals for a long time, and God just blessed me. I just appreciate Him so much. I've been doing the college national finals as well for years, and the greatest thing is we don't really change anything up musically there and here. I mean, we get that old fiddle going, man. And I mean, it just opens the hearts of the people. Now, I have to change a message, you know, because it's very evangelistic. You know, you can't go in there and just really start teaching Bible deep when half of the crowd has never been to church before. And so, but just what we do on the road really is what we do right here. And it's to get people saved, healed, delivered, and set free to the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's an honor to have new people here. We appreciate you coming, man. Driving 4.5 miles from town, or if you come the opposite direction, it might be a little further. I live just in Oatmeal, and it's about 8 miles, and people come from Burnett and all the way in Marble Falls, and some come in deep Austin, Leander, Cedar Park, Georgetown, you know, Florence, a lot of people from. So it's amazing how many people just come. And then, of course, a lot from Liberty Hill. I appreciate you coming, though. We love to welcome people and just thank you for being here. All we want to do is not embarrass you. But if you've never been to Cowboy Church before, would you mind just where you're at? Raise your hand. Let us just welcome you the way Cowboy Church welcomes people. Thank you. Thank you, guys, very much. Honored. Honored to have you. Appreciate it a lot. Most of you hopefully know that we started Cowboy Church. Jamie and I just had turned the Lubbock Church at the Barn over to Ted and Jan Currington. And once we, it's amazing because God really did. I did a bull riding there one time. And we raised, just to help that church, I don't know, we raised a lot of money in a bull riding and in the auction. And I left them with over $100,000. And we had 1,700 people born again just the first couple of years. It was amazing how many people got. Matter of fact, most of you know, so many people got saved at that church in the Barn at Lubbock, that we were on the cult list from the FBI. Because all those drug dealers and wild hombres were getting saved, and they thought we were. Can you say hombre in a church? Come on, man. I just heard someone say hombre. That's good. And I mean, well, they'd get saved, and then the FBI would send someone in to check us out and find out that we were just preaching Jesus, the name that's above every name. But then we came here. And wow, what God's doing is just filling up this church. We're young, but to be here and see so many people drive past, no telling how many churches to get here, really appreciate it. So y'all, I can't thank you enough for coming. I pray that if you don't have a church home, that this could be your church home. If not, I pray that you find a good Bible-believing church wherever you can, you know, you can plant. Because where you're planted is where you grow. Amen? Don't, if you're not planted somewhere, you're never going to grow. So you got to get those roots in the ground and begin to. We're not perfect. We might make a mistake or two, but thank God for grace and mercy. Amen? So y'all, thank you for coming. Give them another hand, y'all, the new people. I want you to use even more enthusiasm for clapping, in your clapping time for tithes and offerings, please. Amen. Now, the reason that I get excited over talking just for a little bit about tithes and offerings, and for the new people here, I try to tell people, just because it's opened so many doors for me to teach on finances, when God told me when we started not to take a salary at this church. And so me and my wife, we don't take a salary. If people want to give to us, we appreciate it. We thank you. You become partners with me and Jamie and our ministry. But you don't have to give to us personally. And then the church does not give to us as a salary. We just don't operate that way. And it freaked out some of my elders at the very beginning. They was wondering how we're going to make it. Well, what excites me about being able to teach for, you know, a few minutes, and I have our ministers that minister when I'm gone, they do the very same thing. They teach for about 5 or 10 minutes, because it's time that you and I, number one, get out of debt, that we start living by the principles that the Bible talks about, sowing and reaping, because it's a principle that will work for you when the economy of the world will not. I mean, we're having inflation like we've never seen in years and years of this country, but yet God's people that are tapped into His principles of sowing and reaping continue to be blessed in the midst of things that seem to be getting worse in the world. If you live by the stock market, then it's going to go up and down. And that's no way to live. But with the wisdom of God, you can be in it, and God will bless you and give you some wisdom on what to buy and what not to buy. Then you can go over in other areas and still be increased financially, even in what the world or the United States calls a down economy, or just, I mean, money going out like crazy. So that's why we teach this stuff. 2,036 times the Bible talks about finances. So why in the world, growing up, would I be convinced by some of my pastors that taught us in the early years to have fear about talking about money? Because it's the things that we work hour after hour after hour to get. So if we'll do it God's way, then it gives us confidence to not let money control us, but we control it. And then you'll help someone that needs it. You know, you'll be able to bless someone that is just hurting, a family. And there might be some in this room or watching us that just need some help in the season. And it's an awesome thing to be able to help those people. But if money controls you, then it's going to be hard for you. Well, you'll have to live by that one scripture that most Christians get incorrect. Sometimes preachers do too, because they never talk about the love of money. They always say, you know, money is the root of all evil. And that is not what the Bible says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. So we want to teach you here to not love it, but to use it in a good way to get out of debt again, and then owe no man but to love them. So here's a scripture for you found in Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 35. And here's why I love to talk about these scriptures, is because I want you to go home sometimes and I want you to just meditate on these scriptures. Look at it and just read it over and over and over and chew on it and let God bless you and start teaching you some things. 35 of Hebrews 10 says, cast not away therefore your confidence. Because look, what happens in this world in all areas of life? The devil wants to beat you up and get rid, cause you not have confidence. Let's say it that way. I mean, if it's roping, I mean, he deals with the mind. And if you miss a steer, you know, I've missed a steer for lots of money. And I drove a long way to Cheyenne to rope one year, and we got one head, and then the top 80 got to come back in the performances at Cheyenne. And I went there and drove a long way with my brother, and I was excited to be at the daddy of them all. I've roped there many, many times, but this, I mean, I was excited. I had just bought a horse from a national finalist named Daniel Green, who made the national finals 15 times or so, and he rode this horse called Touchdown. And he just had won $56,000 at the finals on Touchdown. And I was riding Touchdown because I just bought him. So I had a good horse. I knew he could run. I knew he was a high-powered horse that can win at the top level. And I jumped out there, and boy, I get to this steer, and I, what they call split the horns. I roped the right horn, and it came under the left horn. And when that happens, it figure eights usually, and you can't get it out. And I'm not telling you, if y'all have never seen the arena at Cheyenne, Wyoming, it's like 16 miles long, okay? But the whole way, I used everything I could think of spiritually, biblically, to command that rope to open up. I commanded angels to try to get that thing open all the way down that arena. And as you know, I went out of the arena and I missed. Ah, well, of course, my brother didn't talk to me for 4 hours because he was my partner. And we drove all the way 16 hours back home. Well, listen, here's what it did, is it tried to ruin my confidence on the very next run, you see. See, that's how the enemy works. He wants to ruin your confidence into handling finances correctly, making the right decisions. And if you make a wrong decision, oh, doesn't he beat you up? So here God's trying to say, listen, in the Amplified, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. For if you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. In other words, God wants you to remain in confidence that when you give to Him, that is seed going into the ground, and it's going to produce a harvest back to you in your life somehow. Amen. That's why we give. We don't give just because it's a command of the Lord. No. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We don't live by the Old Testament where you have to tithe. No, you get to tithe because you're getting into God's economy. Amen. So in that bucket and in that bucket, why don't you come give with a big old shout of praise. Amen. Have confidence. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. Go ahead, fellas. Y'all that are going to pass out communion, if I can get all my guys to go ahead and head down, appreciate it. Thank you, kiddos. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Beat you to the punch. Thank you, brother. As y'all know, once a month, usually if the timing's right, sometimes we have to change it. But the first Sunday of the month, we always take communion. I love it when everybody stays in here because what it does is teaches kids what communion is. And so we might as well leave them in here just for a second, and then we'll dismiss our kids' church and our youth group. But before we do that, I want to remind you about some things. Because remember, I said the word remind is because the Bible says, you know, in Hebrews 11, when it talks about communion and the Lord's Supper, that he constantly says when you eat of the bread, which is the broken body, and you drink of the juice or whatever it is that represents the blood, he always says this, do it in remembrance of me. Jesus was talking, obviously. There's something about remembering why Jesus was crucified. Why did he get beaten so badly? Why did he have to go through so much pain? And I'm talking about our Jesus. Why did he have to shed what the Bible calls shed his blood? Well, most Christians know it was very prophetic that he had to do it all so that you and I can have victory over all the things that we go through, because he went through it all. He conquered death. Then he went to hell. Remember, the Bible says on that third day before he was raised to be seated with the right hand of the Father, before he ascended, he descended. He went to the belly of the earth. So he went to hell. So he conquered death. He conquered hell. Conquered the grave. Now he's praying for us. Glory be to God. I need it. How about you? Need some wisdom. And he did it, and then constantly says, remember it. Remember it. Remember it. Last month we talked about remembering the love of God. Oh man. I mean, when he shed his blood and his body was beaten, man, he loved us to do it. And so we can operate in that love. Not a counterfeit love. No, I'm talking about agape love, God's kind of love. This morning I just want to remind you about grace, forgiveness. A lot of times people forget that they're forgiven. So they'll hold on to something they did way back when. Or they'll hold on to something they did yesterday that maybe wasn't pleasing to the Lord. And the enemy then wants you to live that way and constantly remember the bad things that you did. Well, the reason that we're eating this bread this morning and drinking this juice that represents the broken body and the blood is because the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sin, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but that's good news. I mean, that's something to go ahead and show some teeth about. That what I did in college is not going to be held against me when I stand before God. So what we're remembering is just one area that Jesus died for. Forgiveness. If you're holding anything that is past, I want you to let it go today and start walking into the before things. That's why the Bible says forget those things and press for those things. Press forward to the mark. Stop living back there and how you used to be before Christ and start living this way. And let God begin to get some things out of your life that are still there that you did back then, and get freedom so that you can get into the blessing of God and continue to be blessed and blessed and blessed. It's all because we're remembering why Jesus died. So when you eat of this bread and you drink of this cup, do it remembering those things. Forgiveness, love, redemption, and all the great promises of God in Jesus' name. So let's eat and drink. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you that we get to walk in the promises of you, their yes and amen. And Father, it is a pleasure to remember why Jesus was crucified and then raised from the dead. He did it so he can continue to live and not die. So now we have an opportunity to remember, sir, that we can live and not die. Our spirit will live forever, eternally, in a place called heaven if Jesus is Lord. the Lord of our lives. But Father, thank you that we remember forgiveness this morning. And it was all because you gave your life. You were crucified and raised from the dead. Love you, Lord, so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good?
Yes.
If you'll pass those cups down, we'll get them out of your lap. Praise God. Let me get all of them gathered up. Kids, get ready. Get the bell ready. I just got to get the aisles cleared because we'd have to raise someone from the dead. And that takes away from the message and, you know. You ready? Kids church and youth group. If you're a youth or a kid, oh, you're going to have a good time at your church. Go on. You're dismissed with a big round of applause. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's do something like we always do. Let's raise our Bibles up and let's look at all of the Word. If you have a Bible, raise it up. Now, if you don't have a Bible, I want you to start remembering your Bible because it's your sword. It's the way of life. It's your instruction manual, some say. I realize some use a phone and it doesn't matter. As long as you have the Word with you, it'll benefit you. But it's going to be something that you got to get used to carrying around. But if you don't have one, we do have some cowboy Bibles we'll give you. If you don't have a Bible, we can buy one for you just to, you know, be a blessing. But you're going to have to trust without seeing what I'm talking about. You're going to have to trust what I'm fixing to preach. All of us that carry a Bible, you're going to see it for yourself. Amen. Now, I'm not going to preach something that you've never heard before. But I am, if I titled this message for you guys in the back, it would be something that I've talked about before, back to the basics. Now, the reason that I believe in churches after so long of the church being established, and I'm talking about Williamson County Cowboy Church, not the church, which is you and I, it was established long, long ago, over 2,000 years ago. But what happens is you start preaching about how to live in the kingdom of God, and you start growing people up as baby Christians. I mean, there's so many people that's been born again here in this church. It's amazing. You know, how many people God brings in, they'll get born again. Sometimes they leave so that, you know, God just brought them here to get them born again. I've had people come to this church that have testified to me that they've visited 20 plus churches in the area, in Austin or whatever, and none of them out of the 20 gave a salvation plan. Well, we want to make sure we do that every time because there could be someone here or watching that, you know, have never given their lives to Jesus, and we need to teach them how to do that. It's not going to be a miraculous thing that you just get born again. No, you got to know how to do it. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth, this is Romans, that Jesus is Lord, and then believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved, born again. And your spirit is what gets born again. All right, and then we get excited, and as we get to going, we start seeing, if you start studying the whole Bible and get taught by the whole Bible, you start seeing some great things, and you'll see the manifestations of healing. Oh, I love that. Man, I love it to see people get healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. And it happens in this church because we believe it. It didn't happen in a lot of the churches I grew up in because they might have taught that healing went away with the old covenant. And being a cowboy, my mom and dad just read a scripture that says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he healed blind Bartimaeus, he's got to heal me of a disease called Crohn's that they tried to diagnose me with. And as y'all know, I was healed by the power of God. Amen. I've never taken a pill ever, and they told me I'd have to take pills, medicine for the rest of my life. Uh-uh. I decided to believe the Bible more. So those manifestations happen here. Oh, and then, man, when you get excited, you start learning about the gifts of the Spirit. Not being raised a little old Southern Baptist boy, we never learned about tongues. Kawasaki, Hyundai, Mitsubishi. We didn't know. Matter of fact, some of our preachers said tongues was of the devil. I never understood that. Because it's in the Bible. And you get to hearing that. And then in a service when the Spirit of God is moving, boy, I mean, all of a sudden you'll hear a tongue that someone delivers. And they'll get a little confused about your own prayer language with one that is delivered in a corporate crowd, and then someone else or that person interprets it. And you start seeing those kind of things in a church that's Spirit-filled like this one. Oh, man. Then all of a sudden, the prophetic anointing will come on me sometimes or someone else. And I mean, there'll be a word of knowledge, a word from the Lord that's given. And we know the Bible says that prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and that's how you know it's from God. If someone tells you something negative, you're going to die in 20 days, then I probably wouldn't believe that coming from God. Amen? Because He's a life giver. That's why He died, so we can have life and more abundant life, not death. So what happens then is then we expect every single service to be like the last service. And we expect, praise God, that we're going to get a message in tongues and someone's going to interpret it, and people are going to be falling out under the power of God, and we're going to start seeing, I mean, miraculous healings constantly. And man, all those things are great, and we're going to always continue to see those things here. But those are things that you don't have to have in order to be in the kingdom of God. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't think for one minute that those things aren't going to continue to happen here because we're believers. But I'm talking about the ones that if they don't see it happening, they think something's wrong. I mean, they think all of a sudden that, I mean, there must be a spirit in here that is causing the gifts of the Spirit not to operate. And what you get in a lot of churches then is you start seeing people looking for a gift instead of looking at the gift. You see. So my job as the pastor of the church is to recognize when we better stay hooked to the basics of what you and I believe so that we can continue to see the gifts of the Spirit with healing and the manifestations of things happening in this church. The power of God, praise God. I want to see the power of God, but if you don't stay hooked with the very basic of Christianity, you're not going to see any of it. And then that scripture will come to pass that says you'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power. Because all you're looking at is someone going to get healed? And if they didn't get healed and there wasn't a message in tongues and there wasn't a gift of the Spirit, something must be wrong. When in all reality, we need to get back to the basics. We teach that in roping. I mean, anytime you're at a professional level like I am, I mean, there's a lot of times I've got to get back to the basic of a swing. I mean, the swing that we teach, to swing a rope where it doesn't hit your head, where it doesn't figure eight, where you keep that thing open so that when you deliver it to a target, wherever the target is, it catches that target. It's called the basic of a swing. keeping that swing open. You're using your arm and your wrist and your hands to keep that rope open so that it doesn't close up, figure eight, and you can catch your target. And so I believe starting this new year, and these ministers will follow the lead, that we got to start getting back to the basics. You know what the basics of Christianity is? Faith. 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 Yes, we're faith people. We're fanatical faith people. Because we want to see things move in our lives. But if you're only looking at a sign, and I'm not saying that all of the church is doing that, but I think the Spirit of God is wanting us to get back to the basics so that we can see more of the giftings. Man, I want to see the blind eyes open. Come on. Are y'all here? Don't be scared. I prayed for a man that came up and he only had this much of an arm. He didn't have this. I think something happened in he got electrocuted and lost this part. And he came up to me and he wanted me to pray over him. I said, great. But as he walked up, you know what I saw in the spirit? I saw his arm growing like a lizard's tail. I don't know if you, being raised in Arizona, if you caught one of those lizards. Anybody ever seen a lizard in Arizona? Oh, man. And if the tail came off, they'll grow it back. And that's what I saw in the spirit. So here this man's coming up to me. Remember that, James? And when he came up to me, he said, you know, we're faith people. If God created this body, he can grow me an arm back. Now, a lot of religious people are like, wow, weird. Because they can't, in their minds, fathom that God would grow an arm on someone just because he's believing God for it. And so, as he came up, we just prayed for him, praise God. And you know, that's our job, is to just pray and have the faith that God can do anything to them that believe. Remember, the Bible says all, say it with me, all, say it louder, all things are possible to him that believes. But we've been conditioned with a lot of doubt in this world. Lots of doubt. And we begin to doubt in our mind, there ain't no way that arm could grow. Oh man, I've seen some miraculous things happen if we would just believe. Well, I think in order to see these things manifest more in the corporate, you know, services that we have, meaning that all of us coming together in a church service, we've got to get back to the basics of faith. What is faith? Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And if we get back to the basics and continue to operate by faith, faith, then you're going to see more results in your life. And you're going to start seeing God move in a mighty way. But do not only look for a gifting to feel like God's moving in a church service or in your personal life. Because a lot of times when I feel like I've preached the worst service ever is the time that God moves the most. Because I've got to get my eyes off of trying to please man and just preach the Word of God. Because if we receive the Word of God, it's going to work in our lives. If we'll just live by the Word of God and not and do it, as the Bible says, and not just hear it, then man, you'll start seeing things happen in your life. Matter of fact, you'll be like Peter, and people will get healed just by getting in your shadow. I mean, you'll get that old negative thinking out of the way, and you'll start understanding that even if it doesn't look like it was a huge anointed service, that God is moving in someone's life to get them perfected in the faith. To get them to have confidence that when they speak to the mountain, that that mountain will be cast into the sea. I mean, it's going to happen, praise God. Because that's what the Bible says. If you'll speak to the mountain, command it to be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say will come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you say. The King James says, saith. You know. But it's not going to happen if you don't continue to be taught and reminded to get back to the basics. Look at verse 1, Hebrews chapter 11. Say amen if you're there. In the King James, it says, now faith. So I want to stop just for a second because I've taught this many times, but you cannot leave out now. And now does not have a comma after it. So you can have now faith. Not now. Faith is the substance of the... No. Now faith. Now faith. You can have the faith in your life to believe for God to do something now. But if it doesn't happen now, it doesn't mean you don't have faith. It's just meaning that you're building yourself up to learn how to operate by the principles of faith. You cannot be a Christian without living by faith. You know why? Because we cannot see God. He is not here in the flesh. Would you say amen to that if you agree? God is not here in the flesh. Jesus, although He was here 33 and a half years, in the flesh, is not here in the flesh anymore. He has been raised from the dead and now He's in heaven seated by God. He is not here. But what is here is the third of the Trinity. You got the Father, number one, the Son, number two, and the Holy Ghost. Say that. Don't be afraid. Holy Ghost. Some people like Holy Spirit. I'm fine. I like what the King James says, Holy Ghost. Because it's not a bad, you know, ghost like we get taught. This one is a good. It's a Spirit of God, praise the Lord. But the Spirit of God is in the Spirit. It is not in the flesh in that form. The third of the Trinity is not in, it's by the Spirit, praise God. Okay? So faith then is believing in a God that we cannot see. We just have to have faith that He's there and real. Now, we do have the Word of God, and we can see it, and we can study it, praise God, because God's awesome. But we still have to believe what this Bible says to be truth in our individual life. Would you say amen to that? Because, again, a lot of times people are needing to see it happen before they believe it. But that is not faith, you see. And I think that's then why people have to have a sign in order to believe that they're hearing from God. God, if you would just write it in the sand. We've all done it, right? I mean, I have. I mean, I'm like, God, I need to hear from You, so I need You to bring something by and have them tell it to me so I can believe it. And it never happens, usually. I mean, God, don't get me wrong. God will prove Himself. I mean, Glenn Smith was believing for some money because he got locked out of his house and he'd been on a ministry trip for a long time. And I mean, he was hungry. They just got home and the house is locked and they're waiting on Jay to bring the keys and he's off somewhere and they're hungry. They don't have any money because all the money, the petty cash was inside that they could just go buy a hamburger. And here rolls a tumbleweed with a $20 bill on it. Now, God will do some awesome things like that. But are you going to believe that God only does things by bringing tumbleweed by to bless you with? Or are you just going to believe by faith that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him? By faith, He's just a God that's going to meet your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I mean, are you going to be looking for that sign? And that's just the way I'm going to believe God is going to do it. Or are you just going to have the faith that God's going to do it however He wants to do it? You see. So it's important to understand that faith can happen now. But look what it says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, though, of things not seen. So in cowboy term again, that's just believing in something before you see it. That is the principle that you have to stand on from now on. And faith does not stop. It continues over and over and over and over and over. Because again, we cannot see in the physical realm our Lord Jesus. But we've got to have faith in something we cannot see, that it's real, that He's real, and that He's alive, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and He is a real God that we can live by. We got the authority to speak His name. We have the authority to live by Him. I mean, all these things are going to take faith. Not, oh, there's a sign. Oh, they spoke in tongues. It was a wonderful, wonderful service. And then the next service, oh, no one was saved. And there wasn't a message in tongues. And something's wrong. Which shows me maturity. So here I get to seeking the Lord. And God says, you know what you ought to do, son? And He's talking to me, of course. You ought to get back to the basics. If you want to see more people miraculously healed and me speak a word to you, and you to have peace and joy and understanding in some of the things that you're having to live in, and watch, and all the bad that's going on in this world, and we've got a divided country, and some of us are trying to boldly keep God in the middle of our country, and at the very base, the roots that we lived by, and having God stay in it, and now our country is divided, and it looks like they're trying to keep God away, and here we're going to keep speaking and declaring the word of God, and we're going to stand boldly. And really, in all actuality, this is the greatest time to live for a Christian. If we get back to the basics and start operating correctly, not living by our past, by our faults, not just looking for a sign, you know, in a church service, but just living by faith. Now faith. It goes on and it begins to give examples. Verse 2 says, "For by it, which is faith, the elders attained a good report." You know what that means? Let me take you back just real fast about faith. Because faith, if you really study faith, it's like God gave us a title deed. Anybody own your own home? I mean, have you ever owned anything where you get a title? If you get a title, man, that's yours. There's no one, unless they do it illegally, can get that and snatch that thing from you, because there's proof, a title deed, that it's yours. That's how faith is. Faith is like a title deed. It shows ownership. So you have ownership of what Jesus did. How He died. All the blessings and the promises that He has for you and I as a believer. You have the promise, the title deed, that the ownership, that He's yours and you're His, praise God. Jesus. Now you can't see Him though. You can't see Him. Where's He at? No. Don't get confused about seeing the results of Him, the creation. Because some people go, well, God's everywhere. Well, the results of Him, His creation, are everywhere. The trees and you and I that are made in the image of Him, I see that. But that's not God in the flesh. That's just the results of Him creating you and I in the likeness of Him, in His image, you see. We've got to believe that He actually created us, and we got to do it by faith, you see. So it's imperative that we get back to the basics in verse 2 when it says, "For by the elders attain a good report." You know what that means? It literally means that the older Christians, the ones that have experienced the true faith of God, I mean, they've experienced a few things that they believed God for, and they've come to pass in their life. For example, I was healed by the power of God because I didn't trust the final report to be a medical doctor who I thank God created, but they're not the final report in my life, even though a lot of my family are doctors. They are not the final report. They gave me a report, though. I just had a decision. Was I going to believe the report of a doctor, or was I going to believe the report of the great physician, Jesus Christ, and what the Word of God says, "By His stripes I'm healed"? Well, I decided to believe the Word. And by faith, I was healed. Praise God. By faith, you see. Then, if you live that way, the doctors then will start believing with you, and they'll create something by the wisdom of God. There's examples in this church, praise the Lord, that then you can use and get victory by going to a doctor. But again, are they your final report? If that doctor says you're dying, it's going to be about 2 weeks, 2 months, 6 months. If you're back to the basics and you live by faith, you can be an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. You'll be the one that survives because you'll start speaking the word of God. And then you'll go to a doctor, and that doctor, if they got wisdom, will go, "Hey, I got something that might help your faith." And I mean, God's given them some wisdom, but they cannot be the final report. That would be like you believing everything Corey Ross said that wasn't based on the Word of God just because of my title being a pastor. No, don't believe me. Believe the Word. And it's going to take faith to believe the Word. Oh, Jesus. Man, I'm out of time. We're going to start talking about getting back to the basics in every area of our life. Because if you do, and you take a little time to start living by faith. What is faith? It's now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Everything you do, come on, as a Christian, has to be by faith. You've got to believe that this word is true. And when God spoke it to a human inspired by Him, remember, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You believe it. You believe it even if you don't see it. I'll leave with this story. And then we're going to continue to go in this. And we'll see how the other ministers, how God gets us all, just what you watch. We'll stay hooked. So I was ministering lots. I mean, when we started, even as a family, when 1984, when we started ministering at the rodeos, and but about, what is it, 96, when God said, "Hey, I need you to move on from the family to reach more people. They know what to do. They taught you right." And so, started in the ministry, was ordained by Rodeo Cowboy Ministries, Glenn and Ann Smith, and they took me under their wing. My mom and dad were already pastors, so they had taught me up. But how many of you know sometimes it's good to get out of one area like mom and dad's teaching, and you grow, and you got to get on your own, you know? They got to kick you out, and it's time you live by how we've taught you. And so I did, and then I just happened to get under Glenn, who had been traveling in the rodeo world, and who God used to birth the cowboy movement in the 70s. And most of y'all know he's in heaven now, but he started all the services at the national finals in Oklahoma City, as well as when they went to Las Vegas. I mean, he started the service at Cheyenne that is still huge today. And then he turned it over to a lot of other ministries. And a lot of us came out from under that. And I was just one of his closest sons who just traveled a lot with him. And so here I am ministering. And I mean, every single night somewhere, George Strait asked me, they asked me to come do a service all the way when the Roping used to be down in Kingsville. And I got there about 3 a.m. and had to sleep in my truck. And here I'm preaching for George Strait, and did for 20 years. And one day, my back was hurting. And because it was at that time I had like a single cab pickup, so I just laid down in the seat. But the middle seat, it didn't have what they have now. And I mean, it wasn't two bench seats. There was a seat there, but it was a hump. And so I felt when I was preaching, glory be to God, y'all want to be like me? Oh, my back hurt. So I just said, Father, I work for you. You called me. You own all the cattle on 1,000 hills. Your streets are gold. I mean, wow, you had a treasure. I need something to sleep in other than a pickup truck. All the motels, by the way, because of George Strait, and he did a concert then during the Roping, were booked. So I had to sleep there. Oh. Okay. You know what the Lord says? He said, well, then start believing. Because I couldn't see a motorhome at the time, couldn't afford one. So I started believing God for it. I sowed a seed to a ministry that needed some more transportation because, I mean, hundreds and hundreds were getting saved and he just needed faster transportation, so I sowed a seed. It was $1,000 back then. That was just everything I had. Wow. Didn't have no more and I sowed it. So every day the Lord said, I want you to confess and thank me for that motorhome. So I did. Every time I saw one as I was driving, still sleeping in a truck if I had to, I would say, thank you, Father. Thank you for my motorhome. Thank you, sir, for my motorhome. And they got nicer and nicer and nicer and nicer. A month and 13 days later, remember, I'm having to do this by faith. Because a lot of people will believe it when it comes to pass. And here I am having to believe it before it came to pass. So I confessed it. I sowed the seed. I confessed it over and over. Thank you, Lord, for my motorhome. A month and 13 days later, a man and a woman walked up to me and said, hey, God told me to give you a motorhome. Amen. You may say that again? Amen. A month and 13 days of confessing it. Sometimes I would confess it thousands of times a day. Thank you, Jesus, for my motorhome. I wouldn't say that one because I'd be coveted in that one. No, I want mine. You have it. And they gave me a motorhome because God told them to. And by faith, I was believing it. And then praise God, it came to pass. You see, but it happened by faith. It happened by faith at the start. It's easy to believe something that's already there. Oh, praise God, I got a motorhome. And you go down and buy one. Well, I couldn't afford it at the time. I had to, by faith, believe it. And then I didn't tell everybody. I just was praying to God. And that's what happened, see. All by getting back to the basics. It was easy to go down and just put one and finance it. That's not faith. Now, if God tells you to do that, you do it. And then believe God for the payments. Whatever. But he didn't tell me to do that. He said, why don't you just believe and I'll give you one. I can go on with that story because it gets funnier. But for lack of time, I'll tell it to you next time. Amen. Back to the basics called, say it with me, faith. Come on, say it. Faith. That's how we believe as Christians, by faith. So if someone calls you a faith person, you say, absolutely. That's the only way I can. I don't have to see it before I believe it. I don't have to hope I'm going to make heaven. I have to have faith that when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I'm heaven bound. We are going to heaven. And we're going to have fun there. Amen. I can't wait. I can't wait. Oh, now my kids, you know, Dad, are we going to rope in heaven? I don't know, man. Hope so. But anyway, Father, we love you. There's a time when we got to get back to the basics, which is faith. And Father, all these people here are probably operating by faith. And this message might have been for someone watching. But Father, I think it's vital that we all start teaching people to get back to the basic of Christianity, which is faith. So Father, give us the confidence that if we need patience while we're operating and believing you for something by faith, that Father, we just have the confidence to remain and stand when we've done all we can do to stand. Stand. And we're going to continue to stand. So give us that confidence. Continue to teach us how to live by faith. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, as we go on in this message, you'll see tons of examples in the Bible about how people operated by faith. It's going to be faith right now for you to get born again if you're not. So the question this morning is Jesus the Lord of your life? Is He your Savior? If you died, what would happen to you? Now, the Bible says, and that's why we have to have faith, because we've got to believe what it says. Not what the preacher says only. Is it backed up by the Bible? The Bible says that if you confess Jesus as Lord, that means you invite Him into your life. You say, Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Be the Lord of my life. And then believe that God raised Him from the dead. You're going to have to do it all by faith. I know some people want a sign. They want an angel to flutter down and show them that He's real. And I'm not saying He won't do some things like that at times. But really, you just need to start living and operating by faith. Because you don't want to be the person that always has to see a sign to believe that God's real. Now, He's so gracious. Wow. Because there are times that I've seen testimonies of people about to give up and saying, God, man, if you'll just show me. And he'll answer that. And He has. But really, most of the time, we're all going to have to just believe this Christianity stuff by faith without seeing it. So you're going to have to do that in order to get saved this morning. You're going to have faith that when you say out of your mouth, Jesus, I make you my Lord, and then you got to believe that God did raise Jesus from the dead and He's seated at the right hand. If you'll do that by faith, confessing Jesus and believing in your heart, I mean, you'll be born again. Well, that's the start of your Christianity. And then you just start living by Him. And you live by the Bible. Amen. You come to church and you'll learn it, you know. And you'll discern if it was taught incorrectly on accident or whatever. Or you'll hear something on TV. You'll discern if it's If it's not based on the Bible and it's not backed up over and over in the Bible, I probably wouldn't believe it. But it's going to take faith to get saved right now. So if there's any person watching or in this audience that has never given their lives to Jesus Christ, I want you to do it right now. I want you to confess a prayer with all of us. And we're going to ask Jesus to come into our life. Now, all of us that are already born again, we're just confessing the prayer with you. And we're learning it so we can lead others to Jesus that are outside of this church. But if you're praying it for the first time, I want you to confess it and mean it and give Jesus your life in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're all going to pray it. Well, we're talking to people that have never received you. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. The only way to get to heaven, this is John 14, is by Jesus. He's the way, truth, and life. Amen. So let's pray this prayer. If you've never given your life to Jesus, pray it loudly. And we're all going to pray it out loud. We're going to pray it like this. Say out of your mouth, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess that Jesus is Lord. And I believe God raised him from the dead. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Now before we say amen, you look up. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, the Bible says, you notice I always say the Bible says because I believe it. The Bible says angels in heaven are rejoicing. Oh, Jesus. Glory. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus for the first time this morning, I want you to confess it before me. Now, no one's looking around. I'm not going to have you walk to the front. I'm going to ask you right where you're at, if you just prayed that prayer, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to say, I just gave my life to you, Lord, and I meant it. And then just put your hand right back down. If that's you, I want you to do it with boldness. Remember, never be ashamed of receiving Jesus as Lord. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior. So don't be afraid. If that was you and you prayed it, get that hand up at the count of three. Ready? One, with boldness. Two, three, go. Anybody? All right, look at me. That means not one person got born again. Okay? What that tells me is that we either need to get more people born again out there, or we need to get them here to get born again. It doesn't matter how we do it, but that's got to be our heart. Secondly, though, is I can promise you this message fired up people to stop getting upset when things don't go perfectly. Just have faith and get some patience. Amen? Amen. Let God reign. He's a good God. Amen? Praise God. Did y'all have a good time? Man, I love to just speak the word. I love to get back to the basics, y'all. Man, it's so easy to only have a healing service, and that will happen, but we got to get back to the basics. Amen. Just a few announcements before we're dismissed. Man, we had our first rodeo meeting. Everybody's starting to call from all over. One from Wyoming called me or texted yesterday or the day before wondering when we have our roping and our rodeo. Our standalone PRCA steer roping is the second weekend of May. We've moved everything from April to May to try to get better weather. We'll still have to pray for the rain to go around maybe, but hopefully it won't be cold like it was last year here at the rodeo. Big rodeo. I've separated it because it's so big. We used to do everything the same weekend, but the rodeo and the roping are so big that the roping, we add 20,000, the best in the world come and we steer rope. The next weekend, which is the third weekend of May, is when we do the PRCA rodeo. But this is the first year I went from an open rodeo to a pro rodeo. So we're now sanctioned PRCA, which then opened up a lot, but it cost us a whole lot more money. Matter of fact, my announcer couldn't come because his daughter's graduating high school. I was used to paying $700 a perf, three perfs. Now I'm paying $1,500 a perf. because you've got to be a professional announcer with a card. So a friend of mine that lives in California his name's Jody Carper. I mean, he announced the steer roping finals. He's an incredible announcer. With that said, we're going to really start pumping sponsorship for the rodeo. If you know of a business or you are one that wants to sponsor in some way, we've got three people that's going to start pumping sponsorships to just bring in. We add $20,000 to the rodeo, so we give about $40,000. Our city's going to help us, I hope. They said they was going to give at least $20,000, and we're going to try to get some more, but it just cost a lot to bring in stock, and we've got one of the best stock producers, Pickett Pro Rodeo. He had the most horses at the national finals than any other contractor, and he doesn't live very far, and he's excited to be a part of our rodeo. So it's going to be fun. Be praying about that, though. I know we got a little time, but the organization of it, our church runs it all, from the concession stand to taking, you know, money at the gate to producing the thing on the timed event end. We have our contractors going to produce everything on the bucking end. He knows it. But with that said, I'm having to do a lot of stuff that's costing money to get our arena ready. We had to do a few things. And so be praying that God just blesses us financially to you know, get some stuff done we need to get done, and then that sponsorship come in. Amen. Hey, do not miss Tuesday night Bible study. That's when you get to learn the Word of God and raise your hand and say, hey, what does that mean? You can't do that in here because it'd be out of order. But in Bible study is when you can really learn in fellowship. So don't miss Bible study. Starts at 6:30. And then, praise God, I can't wait for next week. Amen. Love you guys very much. If you need any prayer, you come down here and we'll pray with you. It'd be an honor to pray with you. I'll spend some time with you. Amen. Stand your feet and we'll be dismissed. Any other announcements? Heidi, we're good? Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a good time. We thank you, Lord, that we don't expect to have another dead church service. We expect life. And Father, that's you. You're full of life because you're alive. Thank you, Lord, that we get to operate by faith. But see, the Word says, sir, that you never leave us or forsake us. So you don't stay here. You get to go with us. So as we leave this ranch, we go drive out the gates, you get to be with us, and we thank you for that. So, Father, until we all come back Tuesday or next Sunday, it is a pleasure to serve you. We love you, sir. And we're going to operate by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.